Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you here on this wet, wet Sunday morning. We're going to begin by standing and singing Thank You, Lord, hymn number 513. Let's stand together as we sing. Thank You, Lord. For prayer. Father, we thank You for that message that Jesus saves. He saves from sin, from death, from hell. Gives us new lives and eternal life with You in heaven. And we praise You for these truths. These are awesome truths that we know, that we believe, that we have staked our life on, that we're trusting in, and that we have the message to proclaim. And we thank You that we are able to proclaim it here in song to each other, to those who are visiting today. We praise You for having the privilege to bear that message. And may we be faithful in sharing it. Father, we thank You for Jesus, our Savior. Thank You for all He did for us at Calvary. Thank You that we are gathered together in His name and that He is here in the midst. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, His presence in each believer. We pray that He will move and work in our hearts in this hour, accomplish Your purposes. Bless Pastor, fill him with Your Spirit as he brings the message. May all that is done in this hour, may it bring honor and glory to Your name and lift high the name of Jesus who saves. And we pray these things in His name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1 through verse 17. John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, he in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for your goodness and grace and love to us today. We just ask you to guide and direct us in all that we say and do, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, how we thank you and praise you for supplying our needs. We thank you, Lord, that you are always faithful to help us in our times of need. And we pray that we might look to you always and know that you are there to help us. You're here with us this morning. Your Holy Spirit is here. And we pray that each one of us will be aware of your presence, that we might love you and serve you and follow you in all that we do. Lord, we read this passage of Scripture this morning. It speaks of abiding in Christ and abiding with one another. Lord, we are your children. We are your people. May we truly abide in you. Oh, Lord, we pray, may your holy will be done. Thank you so much for your word that we can read and study and learn of you and be drawn closer and closer to one another. We as a church, our Father, help us to band together, to love each other and serve you together, and be able to accomplish all that you have for us to do. We just thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here, and those who are not able to be with us today. There may be some who are ill. We pray that you will touch and strengthen them and raise them up once again, and that your will would be accomplished through it all. We just thank you for all the goodness that you bestow upon us day by day. Lord, bless your word now to our hearts today, and bless in the service and everything that we do, that your will might be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15 once again. John presents the Lord Jesus as the way of salvation. He says it very clearly. And his whole purpose in writing the gospel, it says in chapter 20, verse 31, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And John, throughout his book, presents Jesus in different pictures. We call them the I Ams of Jesus. It speaks in chapter 6, he says, "I am the bread of life." You know, bread is essential, isn't it, to our lives. Food, and Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." In chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world." We have to have light, don't we? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." The sheep, the ones that he leads as, it says later on, the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd." In chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead to show who he was, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Chapter 14, very familiar verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And then in our text here this morning in chapter 15, he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Ye are the branches." So here, John is presenting Jesus in all these different figures of speech and showing us who he is, that we might have salvation and that we might have the abundant life that he offers to each one. To provide salvation from sin, a fruitful life of service to God. Here in John 15, Jesus presents himself in this way as the true vine. You know, Israel was an agricultural country, of course, and they had grapevines growing all over and raisings of this special fruit. And Jesus here is speaking about that. I am the true vine. These words are spoken to his disciples somewhere between the upper room where they had met for the last Passover time and the Garden of Gethsemane where he went to pray and where Jesus was arrested. Perhaps they were passing some vineyards along the way, or perhaps the temple where there was the giant golden vine on the front. Perhaps they were thinking of that. That symbolizes Israel. And here he's thinking about what is the true vine. And he says, throughout the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as a vine. But unfortunately, we know it was not the true vine that Jesus is speaking about. Back in Isaiah chapter 5, it speaks about the vine. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, gathered out all the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry." So we find Israel. It says in Hosea, Israel is an empty vine. See? It's not producing the fruit that God requires. Contrast, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, the genuine one." Once again, Jesus proclaims himself the only source of life and the only way of salvation. He says, "Abide in me, abide in the vine." As he often did, Jesus is using a parable or a figure to explain to his disciples the relationship they need to have with him and with God the Father. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. The Father is the caretaker." He's the one who cares for the vineyard, and he's the one who will provide for you. It's important to note, first of all, that the branch must be in the vine. He says, you know, "Every branch in me," see, "that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." He cleanses it. He picks it up. He takes care of it. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And so here he's seeing that God is so concerned that we bring forth fruit. Now the question is, what is the fruit? And we find that, you know, grapevines grow what? grapes, right? And here, throughout this passage of Scripture, we find he talks about ye. And that's one good thing about the King James Version. You've got the plural and you've got the singular, right? He's talking about ye are the branches. It's not just one branch. It's not, you know, but we all, as the children of God, we are in the vine, the Lord Jesus, and we're all together. You know, grapes usually, you don't find them one by one. You don't find, you know, there's usually a cluster, isn't it, right? And that's, we are the vine. I mean, we're not the vine. We're the fruit on the vine, right? This church is to be a cluster of bringing forth fruit to the glory of God. That's what we're here for, right? And working together and loving one another, serving you. Jesus explains that so clearly here, that we are one body in him. That's another picture that Paul uses quite a bit. We are the body, he's the head. We are the branches, he is the vine. So we have to be in Christ and abide in him. What does he mean, abide in him? He mentions that over and over and over. It means to remain in one place, state, to dwell, to continue, or to endure, right? We are to abide in him. And without a personal relationship, we know, with him, we're dead, you know? We're dead in our sins. But here we find that God works in the life of the believer. It says in verse 2, he's working there, he's cleaning, he's purging, he's preparing everything so that there'll be more fruit in our lives. And this is his desire. He tends to the vine, prunes it when necessary. You know, that's when it hurts, right? Something goes wrong, you know, you step out of line a little bit, God has to give you a little nudge. And put you back into the place where you ought to be. He keeps the vineyard neat and clean. He tried that with Israel, right? But what happened? They would not listen. They would not respond. And he ended up, he had to change his relationship. Although he still is going to work with Israel in the future. But we as a church, as the people of God, we need to yield ourselves to him, allow him to cultivate us in whatever way he sees fit. He uses his word to cleanse us from our sin. He says that here that the word of God is what cleanses you. He told the disciples that, right? Jesus said. It's the word of God that cleanses you from your sin when you respond to it. You see? That's the key. When you hear the word of God or you read it yourself and you respond to it in, say, yes, Lord, that's the way it is, then you are clean through the word. And when we do not obey him, then we fail. We fail to bring forth the fruit that he wants us to do. He uses his word to convict us, to correct us, to cleanse us when we confess our sins. Sometimes he needs to chastise and discipline and correct each one of us. So he says to bring forth much fruit. Notice verse 4. Well, in verse 3 was where he cleaned through the word. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Bring forth fruit. You have to be attached to the vine, first of all. A person who has never come to Christ, never put their faith in him, certainly cannot bring forth the fruit that God wants. There's no life there. But for those who are in him, he says, You just need to abide. Keep your mind and heart and upon the Lord Jesus to abide in Christ. Warren Wiersbe says, to abide in Christ does not mean to keep ourselves saved. We don't do that, do we? There's no way. If it was up to me to keep myself saved, I would have been lost long, long ago. You know. But anyway, he says, it means to live in his word and pray. In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay? So let's pray. You ask what you will, and it will be done. I have to have faith to believe that, right? And then he says, and then obey his commandments, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And he says, and keep our lives clean through his word. Dr. Scofield, well, my Bible is the Scofield Bible. I'm old-fashioned, you know. But anyway, we find his speech here in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He says to abide in Christ is on the one hand to have no known sin unjudged and unconfessed. No interest into which he is not brought. No life which he cannot share. On the other hand, the abiding one takes all burdens to him and draws all wisdom and life and strength from him. It is not unceasing consciousness of these things and of him, but that nothing is allowed in the life which separates from him. In other words, we have to devote ourselves to the Lord and abide in him. And then he says, and bring forth much fruit in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And his note says 3 degrees in fruit bearing. Fruit in verse 2. More fruit in verse 21. See that one. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Well, that's not it. That's a mistake, isn't it? That's what it says anyway. It says 21. More fruit and then much fruit. These are the 3 different degrees in fruit bearing. As we bear much fruit, the Father is glorified in us. The minor moralities and graces of Christianity are often imitated, but never the ninefold fruit of Galatians 5. 22 and 23. Let's take a look there. Galatians 5. I think you know this scripture. But it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We've seen the works of the flesh that fail. The fruit of the Spirit is what God wants us to have. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is the fruit that he wants us to bring forth, the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live in the believer, and he will guide us and lead us and produce the fruit in us that we need to bring if we will only abide in Christ. And where such fruit is, the Father is glorified. The Pharisees were moral and intensely religious, but not one of them could say with Christ, I have glorified thee on the earth. So here we find the fruitfulness. And then he says in verse 9, he speaks here about loving one another. This is a theme that keeps coming up over and over again. Jesus spoke about it continually. And here in verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You see, there's the Father, the Son, and us, right? The Holy Spirit leading us. So you got the Trinity there. And he says that we should love one another. Father loved me, so I have loved you. You continue in my love. And he says to love one another. Jesus expressed his love for us, and we must express his love to one another. And this is, it all works together. We do that by keeping his word, his commandments. We have studying his word, learning more and more what he wants us to do, and allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us in the way that we ought to go. And we find that this is speaking about our relationship with Christ, with the Father, and our relationship with one another, right? That's the most important thing. It should be one of love. And I know the word love is overdone many times, and we use that to excuse a lot of things, you know. But Jesus definitely taught us that. And he says, "You are my friends," verse 14, "if you do whatever I command you. Abide in me and follow me." And he says, verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants." Now we are the servants of God, right? But he says, "For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And "I have made known unto you." So he's saying here, with a deeper relationship, right? Jesus spent time with his disciples, especially here he's talking to those who followed him for 3.5 years, those who were the closest ones to him. And he's saying that, "No longer am I going to think of you as servants, those who just follow me. I'm the master, the rabbi, as they called him. But I want you to be friends." You know, it's a deeper relationship. And we should have that in our own lives today, in this world in which we live. "You're friends. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." He says, "I have called you, and I'm sending you forth with the message." They were going to carry on the work that Jesus had begun. And now he's saying, "I'm going to leave you here in this world, and I'm going to go away, but you are going to continue this work. I want you to be my friends and carry out the work that I have begun." And he says, "That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." See? So we have the fruit that keeps popping up over and over again. And he says, make sure that you have this fruit in your life that will honor and glorify the Father, and that will bring others to know me as well. He doesn't express that so much here in this passage, but in other places in the scriptures we know that it's part of the fruit is also bringing others to Christ and showing an example to them that they might come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Say, these things I command you, that you love one another. So we're united to Christ, we're united with him, and we abide in him. We are going to walk in fellowship with him and do his will. And all of these things that we are working on. And he says, work together, you know, like the grapes, you know. Bunch yourself together. Don't, it says over in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see? Then Jesus is coming, isn't he? We're seeing, I decided to say signs. I don't know if you call it signs or not. They say there's no signs for the rapture, right? And that may be true. But we do see things happening that show us in the Word of God that the coming of Christ is more near than it was before, right? He is coming, and we're looking forward to that. And we want to have him find us living the way he wants us to live, right? Bringing forth fruit and making that our constant desire. He says, let the joy of the Lord remain or abide in you. Believe his word and rejoice in the victory that he has for us. In verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The fullness of joy. You know, living in this world, what does it say? We find ourselves depressed, discouraged, downhearted, you know. You listen to some of the songs that you hear today, and it's all, you know, downhill, right? But Jesus says, no, let's be joyful. Be joyful. He has given us fullness of joy, and we need to look to him and realize that we belong to him and that we have a home in heaven. We have salvation, and he is coming again. And he says, be true friends. Be willing to lay down your life for each other. Notice what he says in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. So Jesus says, you know, this is the greatest kind of love that we can have for one another. He laid down his life for us, didn't he? He showed his love and all that that entails. We should be willing to show our love to him by laying down our life for him or for each other. I was just noticing something I got we might be having here about the voice of the martyrs. And it talks about the laying down your life for Christ. Some places today that is a reality, isn't it? You know, over in Sudan now, they're all evacuating the country because of all of the war, Ukraine, the war there. And all these places, and especially the believers, need someone to encourage them and help them. And that's the reason it's wonderful when they can get together and have the joy of the Lord as their strength. You know, the world is filled with hatred and animosity. Cannot expect the world to understand or to accept us. We must unite together as God's people and love one another if we expect to accomplish his will and make a difference in the world. It's not by demonstrating the love of Christ that others will know that we are his disciples and that we desire to know him as well. So may the Lord help us all to join together and abide in Christ. Think about that. What does that mean to me? How can I abide in him more fully? And may we walk in righteousness and truth before him. Father, thank you this morning for your word to our hearts, and pray that you will speak to us and teach us what it means to abide in Christ and to abide with one another in full fellowship and joy, peace, all of the fruit of the Spirit. May it be manifest in our lives. And help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us courage. May we honor you and magnify you in everything that we do and say. Be with those who are being persecuted, Lord. We ask you to undertake for them today. We just pray that you will deliver them from the persecution or see them through it. And help us to be ready to stand for that which is right and good and just in this evil day in which we live. May we honor you and serve you in all that we do and say. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
To hymn number 642 and sing Abide With Me. Hymn 642. Let's stand together as we sing.
Joys grow dim.